All right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting.
Welcome to episode 66 of the Cool Shit Podcast. Gareth just gave me a nod of approval because I'm doing the intro.
I like it. I can relax.
I'm doing his mocha, his camp mocha.
With both hands.
He's holding it. Is our mocha's camp? Please write in and tell us.
How's it going, Gareth, with your mocha?
I'm good, thank you, Gina. What are you drinking over there?
Just a normal coffee.
Like a grown up. Mm-hmm. You, a grown up. I'm good, thank you. What's going on with you?
Nothing much.
Okay,
fell
good.
Fell over, hurt my knee, can't do yoga.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's all right though. Sure. Yeah, thanks. How are you, Pablo?
I'm all right. Slightly over-caffeinated, but I'm doing okay.
So you're going to be yapping 100 miles an hour?
I doubt it. He seems very sleepy for someone that's over-caffeinated,
that's
right?
That's his version of over-caffeinated, though. Yeah, you've not been on in ages. Are you happy to be back on the podcast?
Yes, I am.
Pablo, where are you through your hair journey at the moment? Just for relevance to the audience members, Pablo gets his hair cut only in one village in Spain by a certain barber, maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah.
So are we at a fresh period in the journey?
It's pretty fresh. Got it trimmed a couple of weeks ago. I fear my barber's getting old.
Oh no, so you'll never be able to get a haircut again once he goes.
Yeah, I guess.
Son or something.
Yeah, no, there is a legacy to it. He does have a son who's also a barber.
Oh, so that's I can sleep easy tonight knowing that you and your hair will be okay.
Can you capture some content next time you go there as well?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
just for you guys.
Okay, cool. We'll feature it on the podcast.
And James.
Yes.
You said earlier that you're not that prepared for this podcast.
No, I'm not.
Why is that?
Because I'm going to call this an emergency podcast. Because we were, as we said at the end of the last podcast, this was going to be a Next Agenda special, but it isn't. There's nothing special about this podcast whatsoever because of tubes and trains and all that sort of stuff. So we'll be doing that next week. But we thought we've got all of us here. Why not just do a little podcast?
A regular emergency podcast.
Exactly.
They're always special in my eyes anyway.
Go on then, James. What are we talking about then? What's our topic of conversation this week?
Well, I assume we all saw the Calvin Klein ad featuring Diddy Man Jeremy Allen White in his knickers a couple of weeks ago. Gina, have you seen it?
Have I seen it? It's ingrained into my brain. It's etched into my eyes.
She's half the views.
Yeah, I am half the views. He's absolutely gorgeous.
So who is he? Just for clarity for people that might not know.
He's an actor.
What's his name?
Jeremy Allen White. And he was in The Bear, which was like a hit show last year and the year before. And he's just a really good example of the rising attraction to medium ugly men. Short, medium ugly white men.
Represent.
So if you are short, medium ugly and white, there's hope for you out there, okay, guys? Keep holding on.
Where are we? Yeah, I don't want to talk about that one.
It did break the internet, right?
We were going to talk about that one for the Next Agenda special. I think we can kind of tease it a little bit because there's something kind of timeless, I guess, which plays into the theme of the report, which we'll get into, about good looking person strutting around in their pants. That seems to work for any context.
It's worked with Marky Mark, i.e. what's his name actually? Mark, what used to be called Marky Mark back in the day.
Did know that, not that old.
He was an artist, he was a rapper. He was called Marky Mark.
You don't know
he's
called Marky Mark?
Yeah, she doesn't really.
Why would I know that? Should I know that?
Oh my god, I don't care for anything beyond 1995.
When have I ever said that?
Well, you just kind of did.
I believe this is my dad's story. Marky Mark actually karate kicked my dad's friend when he was dressed as a worm.
Cool story, James.
If that's true.
So, but it's time. But good-looking people, or amazing bods, I guess.
Yeah, his body
in pants. Yeah, he he looked very finely tuned,
also,
right?
Really small pants. He's putting them down a bit. You can see things.
Yeah.
Nice and tight.
Yeah. Pablo enjoyed it.
What else then about this Calvin Klein story?
The reason we're bringing that up is because this week, the UK Advertising Standards Authority, or ASA, decided to ban another Calvin Klein advert featuring FKA Twigs because it was deemed too raunchy, I guess.
It's a weird one, this. I heard that they had two complaints.
They had two.
Two complaints.
The article that I read said two complaints, which...
You have to double check that that's correct.
Yeah.
Because
no, I think the propensity to complain in any amount puts the advertising standards agency into a process where they have to review whatever.
Well, I suppose in order to justify their existence, they need to. So if anyone complains, it's like, brilliant, we've got something to do.
I mean, it's interesting. It means that we could possibly just take down ads for no apparent reason. Like,
you could complain about anything.
It does say here, this is in a Hypebeast article, which you'd think should be fairly reliable.
Well, I read it in a different article. I read it in The Drum.
Okay,
so,
yeah, the ASA investigated Twigs's ad after two people complained that it was overly sexualized.
Who are those two?
Weirdos.
It is pretty pathetic.
Ex-boyfriends or something.
The ad actually came out like a year ago, and I don't really remember it. It didn't leave any great impression.
So I'm a bit confused about the story, because she posted something on her Instagram, about, you know, the fact that it's been taken down. We come onto that. But did she post that recently?
It's been banned
in
this week.
This.
So it's an ad that's a year old that got banned this week.
This is what stinks to me. This is what's fishy, because I think Calvin Klein actually kind of benefit from this, because it presents them as almost like martyrs, and I think more people are going to go now seek out this dangerous banned advert than would have done in the first place. And the timing is suspect, isn't it? Because all this does for Calvin Klein now is keep them in the news cycle the week after.
Yeah. Two people complained from the Calvin Klein market. I think it's ads with far more raunchy things that you've seen.
Well, it's an underwear
it's
brand.
Pants. Yeah,
you're
exactly.
going to be a bit naked.
And look at it and say, oh, she's not wearing any clothes.
Yeah, it's and like, I don't think it's overly sexually, though. I think it's like quite athletic the way that they've actually filmed the actual moving ad. The silhouette of half her body, that just feels like something you'd have seen in the 1980s. It's really not that
and then this is,
risky.
It's funny. I feel like this is a great example of falling into the trap of trying to be kind of progressive for the sake of somebody else who isn't asking you to do so, and then just you end up being the kind of pearl-clutching conservative prudes. Like, because I saw even the way the statement was written, like it was quotes, because FKA Twigs presented her as a stereotypical sexual object. So I'm like, it's a bit fucking rude, isn't it? Like, she thought she was a model, and it's like, no, absolutely, darling, you're a sexual object.
It's really rude.
Who's doing the objectifying?
She would have signed that off.
Yeah, no, she was
entirely consenting. Her management, her team, they would have signed off that image.
Exactly. And she responded to it saying, like, no, I'm an empowered woman. I was choosing to express my femininity, my body, all that sort of stuff. And this is why I find it hard to believe that this is a real thing. Because have you heard of the Streisand effect?
Please tell us.
The Streisand effect is an unintended consequence of attempts to hide, remove, or sense information, where the effort instead backfires by increasing awareness of that information. Mm. And I feel, because the same thing happened.
That's totally what's happened here.
I became aware of this concept because a couple months ago, did any of you see when Osama bin Laden's letter to America got banned because it was supposedly going viral on TikTok? There was a load of like young American kind of progressives, Gen Zers, saying like, have you guys read this? Like, he actually makes some really good points. And then TikTok banned it because it was claimed that it was such a massive thing. It really wasn't. But then when it got banned, then it actually blew up. And it's, again, the same thing. If you try to kind of hide or censor something, it makes it more tantalizing. People think, oh, I want to have a bit of that.
Well, it certainly brought back a year-old ad, which would have, you know, had its spend done, would have noise completely gone from that campaign.
Yeah. I probably saw that ad, but I don't remember it.
I don't remember it now. I feel bad for her, though.
Well, that's good exposure for her.
I guess.
Literally.
I think it's worth also noting that I served her when I worked in Selfridges.
Always got to bring it back to you somewhere, don't you,
Gina? That was worth noting.
It's worth noting.
Go on, look, you started, so let's finish the story.
She bought two pairs of Miu Miu shoes.
Okay.
And spent like £1,000.
You worked on the retail floor, did you?
I did.
I bet you were awful.
I was great, thank you.
No, I bet you were rubbish.
Why? I could see you being good at that.
Thanks.
Rude month.
Titchy Strider asked for my number. He had to shop in women's.
This is why I think you'd be distracted.
No, not by him. Anyway, going back to it. So there's a whole thing about comparing it to Jeremy Allen White's campaign.
Which, again, that ad is literally his body is the main thing that features in that ad. And his packet, So, like, he's there. He's, like, in all sorts of positions. He's doing pull-ups. He's lying on the sofa. Like, you can't really... There's no comparative that FK Twigs was doing anything different.
Or really, she's just a bit more bendy.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, you can't see her as clearly anyway because it's in, like, dark light.
Yeah.
So, like, none of this makes sense.
But yeah, and this is one of the points they mentioned as well. It's like, oh, it wasn't that clearly branded. But like, Calvin Klein are so kind of universal and ubiquitous that it's almost like if you make an advert for underwear, you may as well be making an advert for Calvin Klein, because they're so universal that if you're promoting underwear, you're essentially promoting Calvin Klein. So they don't need to whack a load of massive logos all over.
That's interesting. I was going to play devil's advocate, because the big difference between the two of them is that in the FK Twigs advert, you don't see any Calvin Klein logos at all in any of the clothing that she's wearing. Do we not think that that's, you know, perhaps grounds?
That's just a kind of a design choice that you might want to, mm-hmm. You might not want to alter a load of logos all over lingerie.
There will be a Calvin Klein logo at the end of the advert. Doesn't really matter, does it?
No, exactly. You can do what you want. You can make your creative choices. Like, it's a bizarre line to take.
It's far more sexual because there's no logo. Argument that's going to win with me.
No, exactly.
All right, okay, cool. Well, that was that. Are we going to move on, Gina? You're the boss this week.
No, why am I the boss?
Because you are.
I make myself the boss. I bought a story. Bosses don't bring stories.
Okay.
But, James, you want to do yours next?
Yeah, I'll be the boss. I think we've spoken about this before in the past. The ongoing development of the city of Neom, which is I don't know if that's actually how you say it, but that's how I say it, because they're motoring on to the future.
We did a story about the big glass.
The line.
Yeah.
Which is being built. Like, they're actually, because this is why I find this fascinating, is because for the longest time, I kind of assumed this was some sort of weird PR stunt, practical joke, but they're fucking doing it.
So please let the viewer or listener know.
The Saudi Arabia are building a mega city called Neom, and it's got various different components. One we spoke about in the past was the line, which was a 50-kilometer mirrored building in the desert with no cars that you can get from end to end to in 20 minutes. And the latest new development is Aquellum, which has been described as, I'm going to give you a few descriptions here because they really go hand with it. So it's an ultra luxury upside down skyscraper nestled within the mountain range along the Gulf of Aqaba coastline, revealing an experiential and subterranean digitalized community meshing advanced technology and avant-garde architecture subsumed in the metaverse. So it's basically an upside down skyscraper in Saudi Arabia. So rather than going up, it goes down into a mountain.
Oh,
I mean,
claustrophobic.
They've just kind of released the plans for it this week. They've done a kind of a video spiel meeting the architect, who seems like a really fun guy. He starts out by quoting Nietzsche, which immediately got me on side.
Of course.
The Saudis are trying really hard at the moment to have a sort of like a, I don't know, it feels like they're really trying to embrace culture, aren't they? So like, they're trying to get a world stage of a sort of like a cultural hotbed for the Middle East, right?
It's a sort of soft diplomacy, I guess. Like, I mean, you've seen like other nations do it, like kind of, so with Korea, with kind of K-pop and particularly Korean cinema, that was a level of kind of soft diplomacy. And Saudis seem to be doing it with particularly...
I can't buy that argument. You think K-pop was a form of soft diplomacy for South Korea?
Kind of, yeah.
But it's almost manufactured by the, you know, by the governments, or like come up by suits. Well, maybe suits that... money suits, but not...
I'm not gonna claim that, but I'm not going to rule it out.
Okay, fair enough.
I think...
It's an interesting hypothesis, not the one that I would agree with, but please carry on.
I think to try to export your culture to a more global audience in order to kind of go on a more positive feeling towards a nation, that's what I would do if I was a supreme leader.
God forbid you become a supreme leader.
I'd be a supreme leader.
List of things that I see coming out of Saudi Arabia at the moment. I feel like their football is getting attention. Football league, I feel.
Boxing? Yeah, loads of fights in Saudi.
Okay, there we go, boxing. Have we got any MMA there?
Not currently, I don't think. The UFC goes to Abu Dhabi a lot, but not to Saudi Arabia yet, I don't think. But they've also got LIV Golf, which has essentially managed to now, I think, merge with the PGA Tour, so they kind of caved in there. And I think they're making a play for tennis now as well. So I think they're trying to, in the evolving world that we live in, insulate their economy from being too petro-state dependent.
Mm. Well, it's a good point, isn't it? Because they're very, very oil-rich, and that's where the money's come from.
Exactly.
As we go green, we're like... forever.
So yeah. I think they're looking at different kind of avenues of income, which is a smart play. But the whole Neom thing is interesting to me because it's so ambitious to the point of seeming ludicrous. But I think I made this point before. It only seems ludicrous because it hasn't existed thus far, but nothing exists until it exists. And if you had endless resources and you were to build a city today from scratch, you wouldn't build London or Paris with an underground and all that sort of stuff. Like, the cities we have in the Western world, or lots of parts of the world are kind of slight hangovers from the more sort of industrial era. So I look at this stuff, and now that maybe it's a year on and I've got used to the idea of it, but now I'm thinking, yeah, fucking underground skyscraper, why not?
Yeah, it's interesting because they're thinking about doing this sort of thing in America as well, aren't they? Because they've obviously got a lot of land and they're looking at these sort of like new cities, like you're saying, like designed for modern purpose as opposed to the antiquated cities that we live
in. Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. Designed for modern purpose rather than making modern purpose work for it.
Yeah,
which is the advantage of kind of having a blank canvas and being able to find the best architects in the world and say, we'll give you a fucking shit ton of money, build us something mad.
I used to live in Saudi Arabia. Little known fact.
Yeah.
Why?
How long?
Probably about 2 or 3 years. I was brought up in Saudi, like when I was a kid.
Oh, that's amazing. It's your rampant misogyny.
Talking of rampant misogyny, Pablo.
Yeah, I have a few thoughts on this. I mean, I have to say, I agree, like, they're obviously projecting an idea of a future that we all imagine, some sort of science fiction, beautifully designed architecture with both the line and this, and all their mock-ups are really visually stunning. All the stuff that they've revealed, it really looks like straight out of some film. And we mentioned, oh, they're kind of diversifying their economy and they're trying to create the city of the future, but we haven't really talked about the fact that they're kind of capping it at, like, the hyper luxury market. Like, it's not like the city for the future for everybody. It's the city for the future for your Jeff Bezos and your Musks.
I disagree with that. I think that they would need the middle classes, you know, richer middle class people to buy into it as opposed to just the billionaires.
Sure, right. Yeah, maybe not just the billionaires. Obviously. But you're right, if you're projecting some exciting vision of the future, you won't go, here's the underground skyscraper, that's where the poor people go, that's the homeless people, yeah, crackheads over here. But when I look at this, I agree with you about the middle classes, and even in the video, they mentioned like a place to kind of, there's a garden to get inspired. It feels very fucking Soho Worksy almost. But also what it makes me think is it looks a bit like it's going to end up being another kind of shopping centre essentially as well.
Yeah.
Which is where I think you're going to get your ultra high net worth people, but then also the middle class who want a little bit of a taste of this. So I'm kind of floating between the two of you on that.
It's interesting that it's like hyper Instagrammable as well, because like, yeah, okay, it's the city of the future, but perhaps, you know, doing this is not the most practical city ever. It's not, I don't feel like it's seeking practicality necessarily. It's not reinventing the wheel. It's just making it visually
on that point
impactful.
Then, on the practicality, what is this about a digital city? What do they mean by that?
I think there's going to be kind of elements of augmented reality around it. It's rather than the bifurcation, the separation of reality and the digital world, they're trying to merge them into kind of one seamless experience.
So is there going to be like a shopping center that's basically just a room of green screen? You've got to put your goggles on and go like, oh, I'm going to go to Meta H&M.
Maybe something like that. But I think what they're trying to do is so you can kind of go flow from one state to the other without necessarily kind of noticing or with it being too intentional. So I think the idea is it wouldn't be goggles. It might be fucking holograms or something, or the screen where you can touch a button and you can see the clothes on yourself. Who knows what these people are cooking up? But I do. The reason I like this though is because there was another story in Cool Shit, which was IKEA presented their 2030 vision for what the future of home living will look like. And it's just a bit lame by comparison, whereas this is a much more exciting projections. And that's why I can see why more and more people are flocking towards this kind of idea rather than the slightly lame, I guess, the Western future. Because also, this doesn't really talk too much about sustainability, whereas the IKEA one was very much like, oh, there'll be furniture made out of mushrooms. It's like, oh, so we've just got the same stuff, but it's made out of fucking fungi. Like, that's not that exciting. And I read a Washington Post article the other day saying, like, oh, turns out you don't actually need a kitchen anymore. And I'm like, are they just trying to get us used to just having shit alive?
Gina, you got a story?
I do have a story.
Let's hear it.
It's a bit different to James's story.
Well, that's good.
It's about situationships. Does everyone know what a situationship is?
No. Please explain. Please explain.
Do I? All right, James. It's basically like the in-between a relationship and a friendship. So it's like more than a friendship, less than a relationship. You kind of don't know where you stand. It's the awkward middle ground.
I kind of love it when Gen Z, like, they have terms for stuff, which has just always been. Yeah. And like, it's like a new thing.
I think there's like a kind of a memification of concept because things have to have names now, which is some of them are pretty fun, to be fair.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what it is. It's kind of in between that. It's like committed, but not
What we used to call fuck buddies.
No, but it's a bit more than that. It's a bit more than friends with benefits.
It's deeper, Gareth.
Right, okay, okay. Sorry, sorry.
Too old.
So
you can't be my fuck buddy anymore, James.
Don't.
It's like been like a term that I think's definitely blown up in the last year or so. And you know the sweethearts, the love hearts.
Love hearts,
love hearts, they've got hearts in them. They say, kiss me, hug me, love you, all that stuff. They've basically created a box of sweethearts. They're called sweetheart situationships. And their message, it says, messages as blurry as your relationship. So it's all the sweets that the message is all a bit faded or blown. Almost like the broke, like they're made to look like they're
so
kind of damaged.
A special situationship packet.
Basically, yeah.
Is that is it coming up for
Valentine's Day?
For Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I think that's quite a smart idea, isn't
it? Super smart, because it's also like when you think of love hearts and Valentine's Day, you do.
Is it a collaboration? Like I'm just wondering, like, because love hearts.
No,
I can't imagine.
Sweethearts are different. They're different.
So, is this like the American version?
Yeah, they're not actually love hearts, but they're like they're a similar vibe. They have little hearts, like it's candy with little things on it. Writing on it. So this is kind of like for people that are in situationships or that are single. I think it's cute, and it's about, you know, situationships are murky and all the writing is faded and murky on the sweets. I think it is quite smart.
I think it's fucking lame.
I really like it. I really like it, guys. I think it makes me feel seen. It makes a lot of people feel
seen. Okay, because that's interesting, because I was looking at thinking, who is this for? Who would actually give a shit? And it's like
it's PR. It's not for people to buy. It's just good PR.
I know, but it's like fucking worse than GCSE poetry level metaphors. Like it's like, oh, it's blurry like your relationship, because not everything has to be perfect. It's like, shut up.
I like the faux Scottish accent you did there.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
It's blurry.
Do you reckon it's like actual discards of like their main production line, or do you think they've like set up their machines to blur the text?
I think they've done it on purpose. It's made to look like it's kind of discussed, but I think this is then produced that way on purpose. It's all about hazy messaging. You can actually buy them.
Well, hang on. So that makes a massive difference to me. If these are the ones that would have been binned because they're blurry and stuff, then I think it's kind of brilliant. If they're intentional, then I think it's really lame.
I kind of agree with James there.
I just think, it's all right. It's like a half decent story, but it's a PR thing. It's doing its job.
I just don't think it's that clever.
I'm on their website and it says, due to an overage of situationships, sweethearts situationship boxes have sold out, but situationships are never really over. I think it's so
again, PR, like they had like 20 packets to begin with.
They didn't have any.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that it's very like culturally relevant.
But why I think it feels like fucking dad dancing on TikTok. It's like, someone sitting in a fucking boardroom with like, situationship was one of the words of the year. Let's do a funny thing for situationship.
Disagree with you.
We're allowed to disagree.
They've also got a little campaign video here. Hold on.
Turns out they were just ahead of their time. Introducing Sweetheart Situationships, the perfect Valentine's gift for 2024. We packaged only our blurriest, vaguest, most indecipherable candies to be perfect for your undefined relationships. With messages like sun mess, bit of a mini.
I like it.
The video is good. Yeah. Like, it's got a very kitsch video.
Based off that, it seems as if it is the ones that would have been discarded.
Yeah. They're saying that, but it's definitely not.
I don't think it is, but I do still wonder, like, who's going to buy that? But first of all, is anyone going to buy that?
Shall I just say this one more time? It's a PR story.
Yeah, it's a good PR story.
Yeah, me and Pablo are on the same page. We like it. I think it's just, it's cute, it's funny, it's relevant. Like, that's it.
Fair.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy that.
I would.
Okay, Pablo, what story have you got?
Don't know if you know the brand Swarovski.
Yes.
No, they have an optics branch. Don't know if you know that. Where they make an optics branch. Swarovski. How do you pronounce it?
What do you mean? What does an optics branch mean?
An optics branch. So they make telescopes and.
I didn't know that.
And scopes and stuff like that. And they make binoculars. And they've just released in the CES 2024, and I think it's now out on the market, a 4,800-pound pair of binoculars called AX Visio, which is AI-supported with an AI chip that will detect and tell you what bird you're looking at when you look at it.
So it's for bird watchers.
That
takes the fun out of bird watching, surely, because it does it for you.
I think if you're a bird watcher, you just want the best thing to watch birds with.
Yeah, but that's not like the thrill of it. It's not like, say, likewise, if you go on safari, like, if you see a leopard, then the thrill isn't going, well, what the fuck is that thing? Like, it's just the excitement of seeing it. Because also, if you're a bird watcher and you're not sure what something is anyway, then you're going to, it just prevents you from having to flick through your bird book, essentially. It just registers it straight away.
It's just technology, isn't it?
Oh, have you ever been bird watching?
No.
Okay, so you don't understand the rush.
James, are you a keen bird watcher?
I'm a bit of a twitcher. I don't mind it. Down to Dungeness, spooky place, do a bit of bird watching. Yeah,
just cool place.
I'm also quite shocked that Swarovski have this, like, it's a jewelry brand. It's quite random, isn't it?
Yeah, they make it. It's like glass.
Okay. Oh, actually, then that kind of does make sense.
Glassware, it's not crystal, glassware.
Crystal, glass, you know what I mean? That type of thing.
And also, but binocular, I mean, it's like a luxury brand, and binoculars get pretty fucking pricey.
Yeah,
well,
they
like,
do, yeah.
So it makes a level of sense. I'd include binoculars, kind of a really posh pair of binoculars.
I'm eyeing up a pair for stargazing. Like, yeah. they're really good for, like, you can see Jupiter, like, pretty well, yeah, with, like, a really good pair of binoculars.
It's not a star.
Well,
it's a planet.
Yeah, but still counts as looking up into the night sky, James.
I think you've got some homework.
Gareth loves space. But anyway, yeah, going back
planets,
to Pablo.
James, you'll like this. Planets, the Greek word, means moving star. That right. Because originally they were looking at the stars and they were wondering why those ones moved in the night sky so regularly comparatively to the stars that were up there. So I think I win. Right.
Have you done before, Pablo? Have there been AI binoculars before?
So no, this is a first as far as I've been able to find. But I do kind of agree with you, Gina. There must be some element of bird watching that is dulled down by the fact that you don't have to think at all. You just have the name that pops
Welcome
up.
Welcome to 2024, guys. Oh, we're trying to make, like, life a little bit.
I still think it's cool. I would love to try them out. Like, ooh, nice. Yeah, it's an American willow.
Okay, right.
Whatever.
So if you're an avid bird watcher, right? Like, you're gonna have your books, whatever. You're gonna spot your bird, as in, you know, it's the technology's gonna tell you what you are, and then you're probably gonna go to your book anyway to get, like, tidbits about that bird and, you know, all the other little bits about it. Mm-hmm. No.
You would be. I can imagine why you'd be slightly peeved if you were an avid bird watcher who'd learned all of the birds. You'd done your homework,
like doing the knowledge. Yeah. If you're a cab driver,
that's a Hottentot bottom.
It's like the Uber of bird watching.
Yeah, exactly.
And then someone else comes along and they can just go click and click and identify it straight away. But, like, to your point, that's how technology works. It's like saying once we got central heating, it's like, oh, I kind of miss making fire.
There's something still quite interesting about the idea of applying AI, which is like such a cutting edge thing, right, with binoculars, which comes from the past. Almost the average person doesn't use them. It's a very to the point technology, and then all of a sudden big brand like this comes in and combines the two and makes a pretty crazy product and makes you wonder, oh, are they going to start using AI integrated chips and other things? Can you use
for stargazing? It would be wicked. Yeah. It would be really, really good.
Stargazing.
I kind of love it. So I think this is when we talk about AI, it's easy to get too caught up in the kind of the hysteria and the more crazy stuff. Whereas this is the perfect example of technology doing what technology is probably meant to do, which is just make our lives slightly easier, better, and more convenient. Which is exactly what this is doing. It's not sort of solving like a massive problem, but it is making an activity easier.
So, yeah,
I'm entirely on board with this. I just want to know if it works. And I want to know how sensitive. Did you just yawn?
Did Gina? Yeah. Jesus. Your coffee didn't work.
Jesus. Bird watching is so boring.
Gina, did you write cool shit this week? I've heard.
No.
Oh.
Absolutely not. I can't write.
Okay.
Especially not like James.
Sorry, you think she wrote the mellifluous sonancies of a blackbird sounding and resounding on a crisp spring morning?
Why would I not write that?
Because you just wouldn't, because I would write that, because it's so wanky that only I would write that. I don't think that's good, by the way. I think it makes me sound like a twat.
Nice way out of that, James.
All right, so where can people go and find the cool shit newsletter, James?
I've got blank. zachagency.com/cool-sht.
And Gina, we will be doing the next agenda special, will we?
Yeah, that's when? Next week.
Okay.
Is it, though?
Is it?
You'll
wait
to wait.
Find out on next week's Cool Shit Podcast.
All right, guys. Thanks very much. See you next week.
See ya.